Maybe I should buy Tommy a mic for his birthday.
When next year.
No, last year. I didn't get him anything. I don't. This is the thing. Everyone's all shit like birthdays. Oh, but this is my whole point. Like, how many of his birthdays have I missed? Like 30.
Yeah.
So I just get him one for his 8th birthday.
His 8th birthday. Here you are. It's a bit late, son.
Yeah, but I mean, he gets a present. Actually, because I'm from Canada, my interactions with police have all been incredibly positive.
Yeah, you have to shout up at them from like
The
the
horses. I actually, no, okay, fuck you. I actually got pulled over by a Mountie on a horse.
Yeah.
It is the weirdest thing. So, like, because you could hit his horse with your car,
Yeah.
and he and the horse would be fucked. So I was there's Stanley Park in Vancouver.
So you would be too, though, right?
Only, oh, okay, hogs. Well, only if he gets like, but this is it. I'm assuming if I hit his horse and him hard enough, he wouldn't remember my license plate.
Yeah,
So
I
there's
get
Stanley Park. It's this giant park in the middle of Vancouver, and there's a road that goes around it. And I think I was going 50 in the 30 zone. I was going too fast. Fair enough. And he started riding his horse slowly out in front of me, and I went around his horse and kept going. And then I just heard this, "Stop!" like in the loudest voice I think I've ever heard. And I just stopped my car. Like, I
yeah.
easily could have just kept going. It was a very interesting effect I thought about afterwards. With it. He said it with such authority, I did what he told me to do.
Shit, yeah, that guy's the boss.
And then he trundled up on his horse. I don't know what slow. I guess it's not.
Trotted.
He
Trotted.
dressaged. He dressaged to my car, and then he like leaned down. He had to lean down past the horse's head to talk into my car and be like, "You're going too fast. Don't be an asshole." And I was like, "I'm sorry.
Well, sorry about that. I'm
Sorry,
sorry.
sorry, sir. Won't do it again." And then he just let me go. He let me go with a warning. It's quite nice. I think if I kept going, I would have been in a lot of trouble. But I think because I
Yeah.
stopped, he was like, "Oh, he didn't mean to be a dick. He was just a dick."
That was me the other day. Went 7-Eleven and I bought wanted to buy iced cafe latte. But I picked up the iced coffee cup and didn't not think about it and just paid for it. Went to the machine, put it in, iced cafe latte. And then the dude that sold it to me walked around, he's like, "That's a nice cafe latte." And I was like, "Yeah." And he's like, "That's a nice coffee light." And I was like, "Is there a problem with the machine? I don't
Yeah, what are you doing? Why are you talking to me,
Yeah,
peasant?
I'm like, "What is going on?" And he's like, "You bought iced coffee." And I was like, "Oh,
Oh shit.
shit, I'm really sorry." And he went, "Ah, oh, it's all right this time." I think obviously, like, he could see the realization in my face.
Yeah,
But I'm sure they get people that do that.
No,
And
that was
like,
an Ingenious Japan story.
"Oh, really?"
Yeah. There was this guy who consistently bought the cheaper drink and fucked off. And then the manager like confronted him. It was one of those ones where like the manager ends up on the top of his car and he's driving away.
Oh my God.
It was fucking ridiculous. I don't know how long ago it was, but I remember that story because it ends up like in a near death situation.
Over like
Over
skimming
less
extra coffee.
than 10 yen, yeah, like a ridiculously small amount of money.
But my wife was like, "Well, how would he know?" And I was like, "Well, he sold me the coffee cup." And then I assume on the back of the machine, it's telling them
Yeah, I'm
what
sure there's
drink is.
something.
It has to be.
There has to be something that's going like, "Hey, this guy's buying the good coffee."
Well, I mean, if it was busy, I doubt that they would have chance to notice. It was like nighttime and it was quiet, so. But yeah, I felt like a dick. And he's like, "Oh, don't worry about it." And I saw, but I went and bought like a nice latte and just, and then got another one. I was like, "Did that fix it?" I don't think so. I just bought one and got another drink anyway because I was like, "Oh, I'm so sorry."
It's one of those ones where no one gets killed, so it's all right. Because
Yeah.
that's it. If you'd like run out of the, punch him in the face and run out of the store.
Yeah.
Roy, mate!
But I wasn't aggressive. I was just like, "What? I don't
Because you're
understand."
confused. This is
Yeah.
actually the problem is he thinks his initial thought is you're ripping him off on purpose. You're confused, so your reaction is almost the same as someone who's pretending they don't know what's going on because you're trying to rip him off. But then the clarification of like, no, I actually have no clue what's going on. And he's like, ah, okay, then it's fine.
I saw him the next day and I said, I'm really sorry about the other day. He went, he said, I'm sorry, I don't speak English.
Uh-huh.
I was like, don't worry about it, bro.
And then you sell him some English lessons. Yeah. I made millions off this guy.
Oh, and then went and stole another coffee. Oh, wait, what? No.
And then I fucked his life. All right, so the podcast. I found an article and I thought it would be fun to go through together. I was going to do it by myself, but then I thought, a second point of view would make it just that much better. So
a better point of view.
Yeah, not necessarily okay. Better, more just an alternative, slightly different.
Maybe slightly worse.
Yeah, who knows? We'll find out.
Second rate.
So I'm going to read bit by bit, and then we can just have a little chat. So this is an article about some history. History happened in the past.
The history of bit by bit.
No, the history of the French impotence. I got to say that word right if I'm going to do it for the rest of the podcast. Just as intimidating to many men were the French impotence courts of the 16th and 17th centuries in France, when husbands could be charged with erectile dysfunction, who were obliged to prove their virility before witnesses.
Okay.
So you can see where this is already starting. So it was very difficult.
It would be the French.
Of course it's the French. But this was, it seems like this was constructed to give women an avenue to escape a marriage through divorce. Because there weren't, in the 16th, 17th centuries, it was really hard for a woman to get a divorce.
Yeah.
So this was something they could charge their husband with and therefore then get a divorce. But I'll do the first paragraph. A husband's inability to perform was one of the few reasons that the church would allow a marriage to be annulled. So disgruntled women who could afford the legal costs would regularly charge their husbands with, this is in quotes, injurious non-consumption.
Injurious.
Before ecclesiastical courts.
Oh my goodness.
The legal tradition dated back to the 1300s when theologians.
Okay.
Fuck me. Agreed that... Can I not Maybe. Read? Theologians.
Can I not read? Self-realization at the same time.
I do. You know those words you've read your whole life and then you've never said them out loud. Like, I know the word.
Yeah.
Theology, I can say, but theologians seems weird. Anyways, agreed that the true aim of matrimony was procreation. So this is a very Tommy just jumps in the chat because you're both saying it wrong. Well, I guess one of us isn't here to pronounce it properly, so I guess fuck that guy, right?
Theologians.
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 He just jumped in the chat. Okay, say it.
Theologians. No GNs, just theologians.
Theologians.
Why didn't they spell it right then?
Yeah, seriously. Take that I out and I would have got it right.
I would have theologians. Oh, theologians. God,
that's my two cents. Theologians. But...
Oh, that's awesome. He fucked in to fuck us off and then fucked off. All right. So theologians, thank you to our friend for correcting us. Theologians agreed that the truth. I'm going to start this whole bit again. A husband's inability to perform was one of the few reasons that the church would allow a marriage to be annulled. So disgruntled women who could afford the legal costs would regularly charge their husbands with injurious non-consummation before ecclesiastical.
Before the church people.
Yeah, before the church men.
Yeah.
The legal tradition dated back to the 1300s when philosophy people agreed that the true aim of matrimony was procreation. This was a very, to me, actually interesting. This is a very American idea at this point because the church in most countries, to me, has diminished its power and value. And so, like, marriage for procreation isn't as much of a thing, but in America, with their, like, let's roll back the abortion rights and things like that. I think this is now an American. This is talking about like a 1600s European sensibility and it's modern America.
Mm.
There's some interesting parallels there that I pulled out.
Yep.
So what do you think? I want to do some questions every now and then. What do you think the purpose of marriage is? Why would you get married? Because you're married, I'm married, we got married, not to each other, unfortunately.
Fortunately, yeah.
Yeah. What is the purpose of marriage to you?
To spend your life with a person that you want to. Like, there's no purpose beyond that for me.
Okay. Because for me, it's just taxes. Because you can spend your life with someone
without being married.
Yeah, right? Common law marriage. Like, that's a thing. So for me, marriage is to bind your finances together for tax reasons more than anything else. And you would only do that with one person, and it's the person you truly love. So it's a weird romantic financial idea. But for me, marriage is a financial institution, has nothing to do with love.
I don't know. Yeah. For me, I never thought about anything else apart from, like, I want to spend my life with this woman and, like, everything in my culture told me that I should be married to do that. So I did it, and like getting married was fun. I enjoyed watching her enjoy it.
Yes,
I didn't give a fuck.
Yes, I agree with that as well. I did not give a fuck about getting married.
Not the the ceremony or anything or any of that bull, but I enjoyed seeing her dress up like a princess and.
Hmm. I did. I actually did. Yeah, no, I think I agree. I think I took more pleasure in the pleasure of my wife getting married than I did myself. I think that's fair. Because this goes to the argument of gay marriage, of like why they shouldn't. If the purpose of marriage is procreation, then you could say that gay marriage is wrong. But if you take sort of my philosophy that it's really about finances and taxation, then gay marriage is not an issue anymore because you're just binding your finances together. So you have certain rights that other people don't have.
Because like, it's definitely changed, right? Marriage wasn't about taxes in the past. It was about like ownership, right?
Yeah. I think that's true. Yes.
Yeah.
Cause especially in modern times, I think it's about,
the taxes
thing. And again, like the rights to, so like your partner's dying and the right to go see them, that being denied that's just cruel.
I guess that's why like prenups are such a big deal in
America. There's a soccer player, so they make tons of money. He's a European soccer player, he's like Premier League, he's top level, he's making millions and millions and millions of dollars. He has that salary go to his mother. He gets married. His wife doesn't know. So they get a prenup, or they don't get a prenup. I guess they don't get a prenup. So then after X amount of years, they get divorced. And all of a sudden, she's like, I should be getting millions of dollars. He's like, well, no, he doesn't have any money. His mother has all his money and she just gives him an allowance. And she just pays for everything.
Smart boy.
It was a very interesting thing. We are at the legal traditions dated back to the 1300s when theologians, philosophy people.
Said it wrong again.
I know I did. Philosophy people agreed that the true aim of matrimony is procreation. Statistics are vague, but by the 1500s, says French historian Pierre Darmon, in his detailed account, damning the innocent courts were faced with a tidal wave of accusations. So in the 1500s, suddenly women realized they could do this and started doing it. The onus was... Wow. Yeah, I know. That's actually pretty insane.
The Me Too movement, but reverse.
Well, it's actually, yeah. The interesting thing to me is it does... Only rich people could do it.
Yeah.
So that was interesting. The onus was placed on the husband to demonstrate his powers of erection before an expert team of priests, surgeons, and midwives. These learned observers would carefully examine his equipment to reach an opinion on its elastic tension and natural motion before demanding proof of ejaculation.
Did he have to jack it in front of a group of people?
So yeah, it looked like the group of people. Priests... Surgeons and midwives. I would say not the hottest group of people.
No, none of them would have been young. They all would have been old.
Yes. So like so that they're saying is like, okay, you get a boner and we're going to look at it
now.
Yeah. Now. So now. You need to, in the next 2 minutes, get a boner. We're going to check elastic tension. I have no idea. This is
it. We're going to touch it.
What is it? Do you think that means touching it? I have no idea what that means. We have to guess.
Like they could just like, I think unless they could just look at it and that would be enough, but I bet it isn't. Bet
elastic tension to me. Okay.
So maybe they like push it down and watch it go.
Boing. That is closer to what I was thinking. I was thinking like, if you moved it, if it bounced back.
Yeah.
So like essentially elastic tension to me sounds like, is it hard? Not is it like floppy?
Oh, like a semi, yeah.
Like you get like a semi.
Semi. I think we need to just mispronounce everything going forwards.
I'm okay with that. I mean, because I do it naturally anyways. Okay, so what do you think? So we have elastic tension and natural motion. What do you think natural motion means?
Natural motion is
it's hard, not as in the previous word. So when you get a boner, for anyone who doesn't have one or know about them very well, you can move them. You can flex your Kegel, and they will move back and forth. So that to me was natural motion, unless they're talking about hip thrusting.
Hip thrusting, maybe, yeah.
Which is insane. I'll actually put this on screen so
everyone can see. Like air humping.
I guess. So natural motion, yeah, to me was a crazy. I don't know that's it, because we have these phrases and stuff, but there's no explanation of what they mean. So elastic tension, I don't know what that means. Natural motion, I don't know what that means. And then the last one we do is very clear what it means, proof of ejaculation.
Yeah, and like the first one, you can like elastic tension, you're like, okay, I can.
Boing is pretty good.
Natural motion.
Yeah, that has to be humping.
Oh yeah, I'm just the only thing I could
like
think
show
of.
Us your technique.
Proof ejaculation.
So that means you have to ejaculate in front of a crowd, which I do not think I could do. Honestly, this is a serious question. So you are stood in front of a priest. It sounds like a joke. A priest, a surgeon, and a midwife, and they're like, "Okay, ejaculate for us now on command." I couldn't do it.
I'd give it like a fucking scout's try.
Oh, I don't think I would even get halfway.
I don't know. Something about someone telling me, whip it out, jack off. I'd be like,
oh, the priest does it for you. Okay.
Can it at least be the midwife?
No. I get you're British. You have that British background. So the priest is the one who's getting it for you. No. It was so proof of ejaculation, I think, is impossible.
I think just maintaining an erection.
If I could this is one of those things.
Maybe like they're your like community leaders or, you know, and they're like, come on, show me.
Yeah. Like,
no, it's weird. Now get it hard. I need to boing it.
I need to boing it. And we need to see you pretend hump and then you have to. Hump.
And then I want you to see you.
Yeah. Like, I think I would fail this test. That's all. That was my first thought.
I can definitely see that being a thing.
If I could go away to a little room and come back with a cup, I bet I could manage it, but I still don't. I'm not 100%. That's tough. Anyways, okay, the next part. Many men found their powers would fade on first examination. So this is, again, your first time in OnlyFans. I bet your show isn't very good.
Yeah.
I think that's fair. All right, just looking at you makes me shrivel, one humiliated husband moaned to his tormentors. Which, fair enough. That's my thinking, is like just seeing you guys makes me not able to do it. Any man who failed this test had one recourse to avoid becoming a laughingstock. He could demand trial by Congress.
Carry on.
Okay. Yeah. Wherein he would carry out his conjugal duty before a team of experts as 100% proof he could perform. So basically, if you couldn't get it up and masturbate in front of a priest, a surgeon, and a midwife, and to completion, you could then try to have sex in front of a group?
I mean, I maybe it would be better, but I don't know.
Still. Well, okay, so the only difference here...
I'm doing porn, right? Well, I hear stories of lots of dudes who just
can't perform the first time. So I'm thinking that the only changed element, though, is that there is a woman there. The problem is this is the woman who is angry at you.
Yeah.
So like, if it was like, okay, let's get a hot woman and have sex in front of a group, I think there's a possibility. But let's get your angry wife in here and have sex in front of a group, I think that is almost just as bad.
Yeah. Like, especially like wives, right? There's a lot of...
Well, there's a lot of psychological issues that go in there beyond the just sheer raw sexuality. That's what I'm saying. Like, if it was just sex, I think you have a better shot than you have now had this relationship that's clearly gone sour. And that makes it 10 times harder. All right, so as recounted by a string of contemporary accounts, this astonishing piece of legal pornography would take place in a neutral territory agreed upon both parties. That, again, what do you think is neutral territory to have sex in front of a group of people? In the courthouse?
Courthouse, the park.
Oh, just like in a park? Yeah, okay, let's get everyone around and watch.
The fucking town center.
I swear it has to be, but I guess they would have to, they would like, let's get a bed. So it must be like an inn, a local inn.
Yeah.
Okay. So the married couple were examined by the court to make sure they were not concealing any devices. So this was like, I don't have a fake penis with fake ejaculate in it, I guess.
Oh, we'll keep reading.
Men were known to smuggle tiny vials of blood into the scene, which would fool observers into thinking that the wife's maidenhead had been taken without actual penetration. So this is also assuming that the wife is a virgin.
Mm.
And so basically you get into bed, you spill some blood on the bed, and you're like, look, I have taken her virginity. That's insane.
Because, yeah, this is hard. Like, she's not going to let it happen, right?
She's trying to get out of this marriage.
Yeah.
And he's trying to, like, prove that he's done it. This is, like, legally sponsored or, like, state-sponsored rape at this point. But she has to agree to it as well, so I guess it's not. Yeah. She has to agree to participation to prove that he can't do it, and he has to agree to participation to prove that he can do it. It's insane. So then ordered to the conjugal bed. So they actually have a bed. They go to the bed and they're supposed to try to do it. The male surgeons and priests repaired behind a partition to enjoy discreet observation. So they went behind like a sheet of paper.
Okay.
And the female midwives perched by the pillows watched every move like hawks. So this is like Midsommar. You see that movie?
No, but this is...
They drug a guy, and then he's like in like almost like a zombie state, and they bring him into this room with all these old ladies and a young lady who wants to get impregnated, and he just does whatever. So there's a scene of one of the old ladies like pushing his butt back and forth to make him hump the girl.
Oh my god!
It was that movie is very weird. I do like that movie though, but. Yeah, so you're trying to do it to prove that you can. She doesn't want you to be successful, and there's like old women perched along the pillows watching what you're doing.
Yeah, like with a magnifying glass.
Yeah, and they're like, "Hey, you're not very good at this." So, with the husband and wife long estranged, the wrestling beneath the sheets would be far from amiable. This is kind of my actual point.
Yeah.
That psychological element is the biggest barrier to me beyond physicality.
She's like, I don't want this to work.
Oh my God. I hope he can't get it up. So there was bickering and harsh words, with one wife crying that her husband had put his fingers therein to dilate and open her by such means alone. So it's basically like he's faking it with his fingers as opposed to actually doing it.
Is he? Because I reinterpret that as he's trying to at least like get it open.
So get her started.
Away. Yeah.
My base assumption is that he can't get it up.
My base assumption is that she's resisting with every fiber of her being.
I guess both are probably true, to be honest. Okay. One critic of the trials noted that it would take only a marvelous, determined man and even brutish to not turn flaccid. So yes, you have to not care about your wife, not care about the person you're having sex with, not care that there are old ladies perched on your bed, not care about there are other men in the room listening to be able to perform.
One hell of a kinky bust.
Impossible. Yeah, just a guy who just does not care about anything or anyone. After 1 or 2 hours, the experts approached the battle scene. I do like this. Whoever wrote this is pretty good. Approached the battle scene with candles to establish whether or not there had been penetration and suitable emissions. So you had to have like a sufficient wet spot.
Yeah.
One defeated husband, a certain Monsieur Debray, although his member had been declared by the doctors big, stiff, red, and long, in place and in good order, lost his case as he only scattered aqueous seed upon the mattress. So his ejaculate was too liquidy for him to be considered a man.
Oh my God.
So he was able to get it up.
And
it was
some
turgid. I'm actually thinking in the place, because the examination before, they said it's big, stiff, red, and long, which means he's got it up in good order. Mm. And then like
been angry.
Oh, he's got it.
Yeah.
And then he does it with his wife and they're like, but the semen
liquidy.
Come on, buddy.
Not enough. Needs to be more viscous.
Yeah, you gotta eat more cucumbers.
Yeah, a bit more protein in your diet, buddy.
So that's it. So he even like seems to have passed the first test and failed the second one. Okay, the women who had the funds to start impotence trials were almost all from the aristocracy. I almost said that wrong as well. So it's not surprising that each new charge provoked.
Wait, how did you say? You did say it wrong.
Aristocracy. Now I'm not sure. Aristocracy.
Aristocracy. Aristocracy.
Aristocracy. Aristocracy. There was some word we were doing the other day, and it was the British people and the American people said it differently.
Really?
I can't remember the word now, though. There's lots.
Okay.
Aristocracy. No. Aristocracy.
Aristocracy.
Aristocracy is right, yes. The accent is on the O.
Yeah. Ah. There's another word coming up that I'm not excited to hear you pronounce.
What, salacious?
No.
Pamphleteers?
Oh!
That's a weird struggle I'm having right now. Anyway.
Because you're trying to read it fast.
I am, and I had and I had a quarter bottle of Beef Eater for lunch. Okay, anyways. The women who had the funds to start the impotence trials were almost all from the aristocracy. Aristocracy, fuck off. Aristocracy. So it's not surprising that each new charge provoked a salacious scandal that was disseminated by Parisian pamphleteers, the predecessors of the modern tabloid press, to a bemused wider audience by the mid-17th century. Oh my God, this would be like
just the average folk are like, what the fuck are these people doing?
And we get to read about it?
Yeah. Oh my God.
Like this is like the most famous, what's the most famous couple to you?
What do you mean, like now?
Yeah, modern couple. Like most two famous people who've gotten together.
Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds.
Okay. There's no judgment. I'm just interested. Because for me, like, it's actually...
I can think of.
Yeah. The first one that comes to mind for me is Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez. Because they've been together and then they got made fun of by...
Together.
They've broken up and gotten together a couple times. Oh. And I think they're together right now. But... the only reason they come to mind very much like this is they went to have sex in a trailer and one of them still had a hot mic on or in the room. And then Ben Affleck starts going like, are you sure you're okay? I don't want you to poop on me again like last time. So like she had some diarrhea or something while they had sex in a previous encounter.
Oh my God, I hadn't heard about that.
It's pretty funny because the guy, it's just like a sound engineer is like, oh my God, his mic is still hot, and then he realizes they're about to get down and dirty, and then they start having this very, very personal conversation about, like, are you okay to have sex because you pooped on me? Not on purpose.
No.
But still.
Wow.
Bemused wider audience.
Out there, right?
Yeah, that was me in that moment. I was the bemused wider audience. Okay, so by the mid-17th century, a carnival atmosphere was attending the trials, as that should be, as shown by the case of the handsome young nobleman, René de Cordillon, the Marquis de Langlais. I can do the French bits.
Okay. I mean...
Langlais. Recorded in detail by the contemporary chronicler of the Parisian life, Talamont de Rieux, accused of impotence by his wife of 4 years in 1657. So he was pissed.
What, so the assumption is that they never had sex, or that...
That's what I mean. Like, this actual part doesn't make sense. Maybe it's that they had sex, but they hadn't procreated. And if the purpose of marriage is procreation and he can't do it now...
Okay.
She's like...
So carry on, though, because they kind of answer my question.
The Marquis appeared to have an open and shut case when the first examination suggested that his wife was not a virgin, but there was lingering doubt and innuendo, so the Marquis decided to restore his sullied reputation through trial by Congress. Trial by Congress. Oh, fuck, this is so good.
I know, because like I'm so used to hearing like American Congress, and then it's like, okay, so they go in front of like a room full of senators. Yeah.
And just like,
plead their case. But no, no, it's just a bunch of dirty old French men wanting to watch some people fuck.
Yeah, and then like judge them for it.
Yeah.
Oh, holding up school. He was in there and doing okay, but not vigorous like me, you know.
His natural motion. Disappointing.
I was disappointed in his natural motion, and his semen was aqueous, you know. Uh-huh. I don't like it very much. His wife should be free from him so I can treat her right. This might be like a weird kind of like white knighting going on.
Oh, God. It's the beginning of the nice guy movement.
It might be. The guys judging are like, oh, I can save her.
Can save her.
In Paris, bets were laid on the outcome of the trial and dirty songs composed because people in Paris were like me. Because I would bet. But I 100% would have bet on the outcome and sat around writing dirty songs. Oh, it would have been so much fun. What was his name again?
The Marquis de
Langlais. Marquis de
Langlais.
Marquis de Langlais. He likes to pare. Oh, I'm gonna do one later. I need a friend who plays guitar and who I can write shitty songs to, who will actually like play the guitar for me. Because I would do that. I would, if I had that, I would write a song for this.
Okay. Whole podcast on its own.
How I don't have friends with talent, yeah. Society, I know, Jesus. Society ladies flirted with the Marquis. So this is a handsome dude who's like women are attracted to him. Society ladies flirted with the Marquis, with a certain Madame de Long declaring openly, I would so like to be condemned to trial by Congress, you saucy slut. Mm. When the feuding couple appeared at the site, a luxurious bathhouse. So this is now we're actually getting the details we didn't have before. Yeah, servants had to...
Neutral
place. Territory is a bathhouse, a luxurious bathhouse. That's pretty awesome.
This couple it was. Yeah.
Servants had to force a path through the crowd of curiosity seekers. So not even a walk of shame. This is the walk up to the deed. You had to walk through a crowd, which is insane.
Is that still a walk of shame if everyone knows where you're going?
The walk of shame, my understanding is, I guess you've done it in your walk. Because my version of that.
Yeah, you've got the same clothes on.
Yeah.
Kind of leaving someone's.
Everyone knows what you did is the shame part.
Yeah, but everyone knows what you're going to do.
It's like pre-shame.
Yeah, but like they all know. So you must still feel shame then at that point.
You feel shame before you've even done it. Yeah. This is like in Game of Thrones where you're walking up and they're going, shame, shame, shame. Yeah. Shame. All right. The mob's sympathy was squarely with the dashing de Langlais. So the guy's got everyone on his side right now, who was thought to have been falsely accused by a Heridian. I don't know this word. So the other words I know and cannot say, I actually don't know this word. So I want to look that up actually later.
Heridian.
Heridian. The wife was loudly booed. Again, sure, her performance is not on trial, so that's actually annoying. The wife was loudly booed while the Marquis strutted arrogantly before his admirers for all the world as if he were already in. Oh, that's such a great quote.
Harridan is a strict, bossy, belligerent old woman.
I can now use that word at the office.
And walk away smugly.
Yeah, you Harridan.
Jauntily.
To her, as Harridan. If I were already in. Okay. As he slipped beneath the sheets with his wife, DeLongay jauntily yelled at the doctors, "Bring me two fresh eggs that I may get her a son at the first shot." Oh, dude.
Okay. Yeah.
This is lines, buddy. Yeah. This is the pre-fight where the guy gets cocky and then gets his ass kicked. So as soon as he started talking too much, you got to go in and be like, "I'm going to do my best. I hate the guys who are like, I'm going to kill him in like the first round. I'm going to knock him down and then get wrecked." But disaster struck. The Marquis was heard by the doctors to be grunting, cursing, and finally praying. After 2 hours, DeLangley gave up crying, "I am ruined." Dude could not perform in front of a crowd. And that to me is the core issue.
Yeah.
Whether you could do it or not at home, put a bunch of people out there, scrutiny.
Yeah.
You can't do it.
Like trying to have sex in front of your grandparents.
Ugh. Oh God. Yeah. That's what it would be like though.
Yeah. I know, it'd be terrible.
Okay. We're in the last paragraph. Shock waves rippled through the crowd outside the female and the female admiration for DeLongley turned to scorn. So because he couldn't do it, they're all like, "Oh, he's gross and pathetic."
Pathetic.
His request for a retrial was denied. And in France, his name became a byword for flaccidity.
Ooh.
Imagine that.
So we got Whiskey Dick and they got the Marquis DeLongley.
He turned all DeLongley on me. The Marquis retired to the provinces where he married again and sired 7 children.
Ha. Huh.
So he was capable. When DeLongley boasted of this to a former enemy, the man archly replied, "But sir, nobody has ever had any doubts about your wife."
These high brow fucking one-liners totally evading me.
Really?
Yeah, because what the fuck does that mean?
Well, like he's bragging that he had 7 kids and like, dude, no one ever doubted your wife could have kids. We all doubted your ability to get a boner.
Yeah, but it doesn't make any sense because they have 7 kids. So he clearly
because this has nothing about reality. This is about reputation.
Oh, my God. And no, friendly but reputation. This is all about sexual prowess.
Yeah. It is, though.
Oh, my God.
All right. Let me give some credit to the guy who actually wrote it. This is Tony Perrotet. I don't know if that's actually I said that right, but just make sure someone gets some credit for actually writing this thing. This is taken from a book called Napoleon's Privates. So, yeah, man, 2,500 years of history unzipped.
Oh, interesting.
I actually am vaguely interested in this book now. So, in conclusion, I could not pass a trial by Congress, I don't believe.
No, I'm glad shit like that doesn't exist now.
Yeah.
And there was a TV show in the UK called The Box or something.
Oh.
Couples would go on and then have sex in this box with like Mariella Fostrop, like sat outside. And then they come out and they talk about their experience.
But they were couples or they didn't know each other?
No, they were couples.
Okay.
Who wanted to go and have sex. Like, the premise is just asking for exhibitionists.
Yeah.
And B, I bet most people didn't actually even fuck in there.
Yeah. I guess. I mean, there's no way.
Maybe some of them tried and couldn't and then just came out and lied because they didn't want to.
Yeah, look bad on TV.
I don't know. There's a whole lot. I was like, it's a weird TV show. Maybe and then there's Naked Attraction. You heard of that one?
Yeah, you walk out nude. It's just one of those ones where
you're covered, and then they start like your feet, and then they slowly go up and up and reveal your body. When the face being the last thing.
The last thing you actually see. So yeah. You've made a ton of judgments before then.
Is weird.
On TikTok, you see a lot of clips of these like dating shows, but it's from like a bunch of different countries. They had one in Korea, and it was 2 incredibly attractive people. And then like 10 seconds, and like they want to fuck. Like just looking at each other, like he got his shirt off as quickly as humanly possible. and he had an awesome body. Like he had like the 8-pack and like the cum gutters and stuff.
Yeah. Muscles and then, on muscles.
clothes.
She was like, I've pulled a card that I can go change my clothes. And she comes back in a maid uniform and he's like trying not to stand up and stuff. I guess human nature hasn't really changed.